This is Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. When King County's Regional Homelessness Authority was formed in 2019, the vision was for a streamlined response to homelessness across King County. But the last few years have been bumpy for the agency. Service providers went public with their concerns, telling the Seattle Times the KCRHA was months behind in inking contracts, and that was hurting their ability to cover operating expenses and pay staff. KCRHA also received pushback from a board member and Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell over its multi-billion-dollar budget proposal. These issues came to a head earlier this week when King County Regional Homelessness Authority CEO Mark Doans submitted their resignation letter. In the letter, Doans left their successor with two suggestions. The first, rethink the structure of the board that oversees the authority. And second, put more time and energy into addressing the underlying systemic issues behind our national homelessness crisis. Doans' resignation raises questions about the effectiveness of a cross-governmental agency like KCRHA and how Seattle and King County's strategies for addressing homelessness compare with approaches other communities are taking. One person who's tracking those approaches is Steve Berg, the Chief Policy Officer for the National Alliance to End Homelessness. And he joins me now. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Happy to be here, Libby.
Steve, you had a chance to look over Mark Doans' letter. You know, not getting into the details of exactly what happened at the KCRHA and why they are leaving, what's your takeaway about the bigger themes that they raised?
Well, a couple of things. I think one is that homelessness is a difficult issue to address. I mean, in some ways, it's very simple. People don't have homes, so we need to get them homes. But the way that gets carried out is a complex mix of city and county and state and federal policy. And each of those levels of government sort of wants their own things and has their own priorities. And I think the idea of having a cross-government entity that can try to coordinate our response is a good one. And it's been tried, and I think it's been helpful in various places. I think it's, you know, we look like Los Angeles is a big example of that. And I think it's been helpful in coordinating the response in Los Angeles, but it's also led, there's a tendency to make the leader of that agency then sort of the focus for a lot of critique that maybe is better focused on the elected officials at the various levels who are the ones who actually make the decisions.
Yeah, I mean, the Los Angeles example is an interesting one. LASA there, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, is something that I've done some reporting on. It's, again, a joint agency between the county and the city. But ultimately, budgets are approved by the city council and by the Los Angeles County supervisors. And this is an example similar to King County and Seattle, where the money is still being distributed based on decisions by the elected leaders of these various municipalities. So how much does a regional authority like this really get to make decisions and shape policy when ultimately the buck stops with the elected boards?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's the important point. The elected officials are the ones who are making the budget decisions. And a lot, you know, as we said, homelessness is about housing. When it gets down to it, it's, you know, it's complicated to carry out solutions, but the basic issue is pretty simple. People don't have a place to live. They need a place to live. And that costs money. And the people in control of the money are the ones who are really deciding how much of a priority is this going to be. I mean, it's the intergovernmental authority, whether it's at the local level or the federal level, we have the same thing. The agencies that try to coordinate the different agencies definitely have a role to play and try to make the solution as cost effective as possible. But when push comes to shove, it's the elected officials who decide whether the resources are going to be put on the table to really do the whole job.
Where do you see effective cross-governmental work being done? I mean, what kinds of projects have you seen be effective in different communities around the country in your work?
Well, I think there's places we look at that are you know, they'd get good results on homelessness. Like Houston is an example of a big city that where homelessness is low relative to population and has continued to decline. And a lot of that is that there is good sort of cross-governmental work there. There's a sort of a private nonprofit that's separate from the government. It's the same basic idea of like put one person in charge of coordination, but in this case, it's not a government agency, it's a nonprofit. But they do a pretty good job. But it also, that example of Houston also points to like some of the larger issues. The real problem here is, and the problem that makes homelessness continue to be too prevalent is really that, you know, the answer is very simple. Everyone needs housing, but that's an expensive thing in a place like Seattle. It's got one of the most expensive rental housing markets in the country, whereas Houston has a much less expensive overall housing market. So when it comes time to move people into housing, they can do that for less money. And it means not as many people every day are losing their housing and falling into homelessness. And that's definitely, you know, I think in Mark's letter, Mark talked about inflow into the system. And that's definitely a part of, especially right now, I think we've come a long way in terms of designing homeless systems to move homeless people out of homelessness and back into housing. But we're still seeing more homelessness around the country, more due to the fact that we don't have a similar system to make sure everyone's got stable rental housing. So people become homeless every day. And for every person that gets moved from homelessness into housing, another person or more than one person loses their housing and becomes homeless.
Yeah, you get to these underlying issues that Doan's highlighted in their letter. And I think it's the housing crisis, you know, being the stickiest of these underlying issues. It's a broad, interconnected issue that the federal government, states, counties, municipalities are all struggling to address. And they have to do with broader economic issues that are, you know, bigger even than what the federal government can address. I mean, what can a local agency like a KCRHA really do in the face of these huge pipeline struggles that you talk about?
Well, I think the main task at the local level is to use the resources in the most effective way possible, the most cost-effective way possible. I mean, right now, if you look at all the different governmental funding sources devoted to homelessness, they're just definitely not enough money to do the whole job. So everybody has to work to make what money there is go as far as it can in terms of housing people quickly and preventing people from losing their housing and becoming homeless. I think for some people, it's more than just helping the rent. Some people, of course, have disabilities or issues that mean that they need other kinds of services. A lot of that is healthcare. So one thing a lot of local agencies spend their time doing is trying to coordinate resources from the healthcare system with housing resources. So if someone needs help paying rent, but they also need mental health treatment, how to make sure that those two different resources come together and that person gets the help they need to connect with both of those systems so that they can get housed, but then they can stay stably housed by getting the mental health treatment they need.
This morning, we are seeing an announcement from the White House and city leaders about this federal push to help homelessness in multiple cities, including Seattle, as well as the state of California. And the goal that the White House has announced this morning is to reduce homelessness by 25% over the next 2 years in these communities. What have you seen about this new policy, and what do you make of what the White House is planning here?
Well, I think it just came out today, so we saw it today, and I haven't really dug into it, but I think it's consistent with what HUD has been asking communities to do around homelessness, which is to try to make sure that they're focusing on people who have the most severe problems. That's one thing. And to bring a range of different resources to and get them coordinated and put them to work to deal with the problem. So like we were talking about, if people, you know, the focus is on people who are unsheltered homeless or living on the street, not there, who there's no shelter for, or they can't be in the shelter or for whatever reason. So a big part of that population in many cities is dealing with mental illness or dealing with a substance abuse issue. So I think what the federal initiative is about really, if communities have federal resources, maybe from different agencies, getting those resources to work together and to function in a coordinated way to get the hardest to serve people off the street and into stable housing.
Mm-hmm. The initiative is called All Inside. It's going to involve the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, partnered with these cities as well as the state of California. The other cities are Chicago, Dallas, L.A., and Phoenix. And the announcement says that there will be federal officials embedded in these cities and that they will also help navigate federal funding as well as facilitate a peer learning network across six communities. So again, announcement came this morning. We don't know a lot of details about this, but we'll be watching that as it unfolds. As somebody who works on homelessness on a broader macro level, what do you think is the biggest misconception about why this problem is so difficult to get our arms around, and why, especially in a city like Seattle, we have seen just the intractability of this over the years?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. There's a lot of people who sort of tend to blame the homeless people for being homeless, which I think is really sort of cruel and not very accurate either. You know, we always say, oh, people want to be homeless. That is really not true. You know, there are three or four people I've ever met in my whole life who like, yeah, I want to live that way. Mostly people are homeless because they can't afford a place to live, or they have some condition that makes it hard to stay in a place to live. So the real thing that needs to be put in place, communities need to target their housing resources is one thing, because I think that's another misconception. People think, oh, there are government programs for housing. And yes, there are government programs for housing, but unlike in some countries, in the US, the government programs for housing are not entitlement programs. They're discretionary programs. For years and years, they've received enough money to cover about a quarter of the people who are eligible and need help. So the other three quarters who have extremely low incomes and need help with housing don't get it. They get on a waiting list instead. And that's why there's so many people homeless, because they can't afford housing, either because they work in a low paying job, or because of a disability, they can't work at all, or because of structural unemployment, they can't work at all. So the solution is very simple. If we could pay for housing for everyone the way we pay for public schools for everyone, and then did a little more work to coordinate the other kinds of resources that people get, we wouldn't have hardly any homelessness at all. I mean, the solution is right there, but we've got to commit to actually do it.
Yeah, I come back again and again to the example of veterans homelessness and the incredible progress that's been made in that space. And again, that involves the vouchers that are available to veterans that bypass the usual Section 8 waiting list. That involves the wraparound care that the VA provides in partnership with those vouchers. But it has been shown to make a real dent in the unhoused population of veterans. And when you think about a test case like that being scaled up to the wider population, it would be a huge amount of resources. It would be a lot of money. But we know what works. It's just a matter of applying it.
Yeah. And the money, I mean, you know, compared to some of the things that the United States of America does, like, the money is not really that much money. I mean, it's more than is now being spent on homelessness. But of course, then you see the results. It's like there's thousands of people on the street in a city like Seattle. And so if you want to solve the problem, there's got to be more money on the table. But I think most people, well, I know, because we and others do public opinion polling and all kinds of other stuff on this, we know that a substantial majority of Americans would consider that money well spent if it could actually make serious progress on reducing homelessness.
Steve Berg is the Chief Policy Officer for the National Alliance to End Homelessness. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Thanks for having me. It was good to spend time with you.
And I want to note that we did reach out to the King County Regional Homelessness Authority to see if we could have a conversation with Mark Doans about their exit, but the agency said they were not doing interviews. Thanks for listening to Soundside. And hey, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m., Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.